The Seattle chapter of the Black Panther Party is celebrating its 50th anniversary this month. Some might remember it for its militancy in pursuit of racial and social justice. But the Panthers also live on in programs still happening in Seattle. KUOW's Patricia Murphy reports.
By the fall of 1969, the FBI, the ATF, and other law enforcement agencies were regularly raiding Black Panther offices across the country. Seattle Panthers were ordered by the party to move from their storefront headquarters to a location that could be fortified in case of attack.
So here we are at the site of the second Black Panther Party headquarters.
Seattle Panther co-founder Elmer Dixon says the duplex they rented on 20th in the Central District doubled as their first free medical clinic. All of the walls were sandbagged.
When you walked into the front door of where the office and the clinic was, you walked through an enclosed sandbag area that had a bunker on top. And so the women that came into the first clinic, which was a well baby clinic, said they felt very safe and protected when they walked into the Panther office.
Sand was everywhere.
Former Panther Vanetta Molson lived at the bunker.
Sand was everywhere. See, just did the best you could, keep it down.
The house was communal. Molson says work and studies were shared. She sold newspapers and found donations for a free breakfast program that the Panthers started nearby. But the threat of violence was often present.
Were you ever afraid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever there was talk of conflict. And, you know, at any time they could come and bust in or try.
Molson says whenever there was a potential for trouble, word would go out on the phone tree. Panther allies would show up and surround the duplex to interfere with law enforcement.
And it could get very serious. You know, there was tension there.
Today, the sandbags are gone. A mural commemorating the Panther movement is the only piece of the bunker that remains. The structure was razed after the Panthers left in 1972 for new offices a block away. After the move, the Panthers focused more and more on programs to fill unmet needs in the community. In the medical clinic, volunteer doctors screened kids for a disease that at the time few were aware of, sickle cell anemia. The genetic disease is more common in persons of African descent. Elmer Dixon says the Panthers knew that.
And the efforts of the Black Panther Party gave rise to the awareness of sickle cell on a broad level across the country.
The Panthers also held legal classes and ran food programs like free breakfast for kids. Madrona Grace Presbyterian Church, nearby the Panther office and clinic, was the site of the first free breakfast program. When Dixon drops by, there's great excitement around showing off the old breakfast program sign.
Isn't that
I probably made that sign.
Within a few years, hundreds of children were getting free breakfasts from the Panthers at five locations around Seattle.
They always got scrambled eggs, they got pancakes, they got grits, they got donuts as a snack to take with them out the door. And all of this food was donated.
Dixon says the Panthers relied on strong community support to get donations they needed to run their food and medical programs. When Safeway balked, the Panthers made an offer they couldn't refuse. And when they did, the Panthers and their supporters shut the stores down.
One was on 23rd, right off of Union. The other one was on 23rd and Jackson. And the kids from the Summer Liberation School actually picketed them. And people wouldn't cross the kids' picket line. And both Safeways went out of business.
By the late 70s, Panther membership dwindled. Seattle was one of the last chapters to disband around 1980. But the legacy of the Seattle Panthers endures. The medical clinic they started is still operating today in the Central District as the Carolyn Downs Family Medical Center. I'm Patricia Murphy, KUOW News.